Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey guys, we're doing Bible characters today, and this is one of my favorite. When I taught high school all those years, this is the one I did this once year, and I love the story of Jonah. And most people don't realize there is a book of Jonah in your Bible. It's not very long, but it's in there, and it's a very important story. God made sure it was in there. So listen, I think you're going to learn something great today. Jonah chapter 1, the Lord gave this message to Jonah and said, "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I've seen how wicked its people are." Now, what you need to understand something. The people of Nineveh have invaded Israel. They've raided cities. They've killed people. They've stole stuff from business. Nobody likes people from Nineveh. Nobody, man. They're the bad boys of the planet at that time. And so Jonah gets this word to go preach to them. Well, what happened was in verse 3, it says, "But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction in order to get away from the Lord. He went down to the seacoast to the port of Joppa, where he found a boat leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket, and he went on board, hoping that by going away to the west, he could escape from the Lord." People think this all the time. "Well, I won't go to church, and I don't go this." Hey, God will chase you down. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows what you're breathing. He knows what you're thinking. You don't ever run away from God. He said, "But as the ship was sailing away, suddenly the Lord flung a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to send them to the bottom." Now, these are regular sailors, guys. These aren't just wimpy men. These are tough men. Man, they sail all the time. And so, fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors aboard shouted to their gods. There's no Christians on board. They shouted to their gods to help them, and they threw cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all the time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. "How can you sleep at a time like this?" He shouted, "Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will have mercy and spare our lives." Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. Now, this is the heathen. They're just casting, they're just like rolling the dice. Who's the bad guy among us, man? They're looking to devils. Why did this terrible thing happen to us? And so when they tossed the coins of Jonah, said, "Why have you done this thing to us? Why have you brought the storm down on us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What's your nationality?" Jonah, staring at us, said, "Okay, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." Then he told them that he was running away from the Lord. The sailors were terrified when they heard this. "Well, why did you do this?" they groaned. And since the storm is getting worse all the time, they asked him, "What should we do to stop this storm?" And he said, "Well, throw me into the sea," Jonah said, "and it'll calm down again. For I know this terrible storm is all my fault." Instead, the sailors tried harder to row the boat to shore. Said, "Man, we can't throw you overboard. That's not right. Even heathens didn't want to do that." But the storm was too violent for them. They couldn't make it, and they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. "Oh, God," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death, because it isn't our fault. Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." Then the sailors picked up Jonah and threw him into the raging sea. And then the storm stopped at once. And not guys, it just stopped. When Jonah hit the water, storm stopped. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now, the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. Now, they made more great movies and cartoons out of this. It is still a true story, guys. This is still in your Bible. It said a great fish to swallow him. So the great fish comes and swallows him up, and Jonah's inside for 3 days and three nights. Now, I guarantee by the time he came out of that fish's belly, because, man, all that caustic acid inside that big old whale's belly, man, I guarantee he was bleached white, man. He didn't have much color in his skin when he got spit out. Then it says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord God from inside the fish. He said, "I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called from inside the world of the dead, and the Lord heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths. I sank my heart, and I sank down into the heart of the sea. I was buried beneath the wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence. How will I ever again see you in your holy temple? I sank beneath the waves, and death was very near, and the waters closed about me, and seaweed wrapped itself all around my head. Man, it's skanky in that belly. It is one skanky place. And I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was locked out of life, imprisoned from the land in the land of the dead. But you, O Lord, have snatched me from the yawning jaws of death. When I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to you, Lord. And in my earnest prayer, I went out to you in your holy temple. And those that worship false God turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifice to you with songs of praise. He said, what am I going to do? Well, I'm not in the temple. I'm in the belly of the whale, but I'm going to start thanking you. And I will fulfill all my vows. For my salvation comes to the Lord alone. And the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out on the beach, and it did. Well, then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver this message of judgment that I've given you. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's commands. He went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see all of it. On the day that Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. And the people of Nineveh, believe it or not, the people of Nineveh believed God's message. And from the greatest to the least, they decided to go without food, wear sackcloth, and show sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne, took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in sackcloth. He sat on a heap of ashes. And the king, listen, this is, you can't make this up. And then the king and the nobles sent the decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals, may eat or drink anything at all. Everyone is required to wear sackcloth and to pray earnestly to God. Everyone must turn from their evil ways. Stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even God will have pity on us and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. And then when God saw that they had put a stop to all their evil ways, he had mercy on them. He did not care the destruction that he had threatened. Well, chapter 4, look what happens. This change of plans upset Jonah. He became very angry. He complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? He's mad that God forgave them. Have you ever prayed for somebody and all of a sudden they get right with God? Well, I can't believe that. Man, I hope that they deserve to go to hell and burn forever. They shouldn't have repented. God shouldn't have forgiven them. I've had people my whole life get mad at family members, people they worked with. Man, that's not right. God is a forgiving, loving, merciful God. Nobody earns their way into heaven. You only got to heaven because you believe that Jesus paid your price. So, go back to this. The plans upset Jonah. Didn't I knew this was going to happen? I knew you're a gracious God, compassionate, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. I knew how easy you would cancel your plans of destroying these people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive, for nothing I predicted is going to happen. Because, listen, have you ever been here? I mean, this is Jonah. There's a whole book in the Bible on this guy. What's he done? He's mad that God's forgiving. He's mad that God's gracious. He's mad that God's loving. How could you be forgiving to these people? Listen, there is no rate, there's no chart in heaven that rates one sin worse than another. Sin, all sin has death attached to it. There's not one sin worse than another. All sin separates us from God. And that's just how God sees it. So then the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he watched to see if anything would happen to the city. And the Lord arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. And as soon as it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading from the sun, this eased some of his discomfort. And Jonah was very grateful for the plant. He's mad that God's forgiven the people, but he's grateful for the plant. But God also prepared a worm. And the next morning, he sat down, and at dawn the worm ate through the stem of the plant, and soon it died and withered away. And soon the sun grew hot. God sent a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. And here he said again, death is certainly better than this, he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry with me because the plant died? Yes, Jonah replied, even angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about this plant, though you had nothing to do with it. You didn't put it there. And the plant is only at best short-lived. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, and not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a city? And that's the end of the book of Jonah. Here's a guy that he's a prophet of God, and he knows God. What does he know? If they repent, he's going to forgive them. If they repent, he's going to forgive them. Doggone. He's so mad about it that he doesn't go and do what God Almighty, the creator of the universe, asked him to do. He goes and buys a ticket on the boat, and he goes the opposite direction. Now, I tell people all the time, God will chase you down. You can't get away from God. God's good all the time, loves everybody, very forgiving, very loving. But you're going to do what God's asked you to do. God will chase you down. So he gets halfway across on the boat, and all of a sudden the storm breaks out. And everybody on the boat's worshiping their own God, and they're throwing stuff overboard just trying to keep the boat from sinking. They realize, man, something's wrong. We got something bad on this boat. And they cast lots, and it ended up on Jonah. And they ask him, who are you? Where are you from? What have you done? Why's this happening? I mean, every time hell lands on anybody, you start asking questions. Who opened the door? Who let this in? Who allowed this thing to happen? And so all of a sudden, they realize something. It was him. Now, at least he had enough hair on his lips saying, you know, it's me. You just need to throw me overboard. It's not worth it. And they said, no, we can't throw you overboard. So, man, they tried to row harder. Man, if we can get this boat to shore and get this goofball off here. But they realized they couldn't get to shore. And so they finally threw him overboard. And the Bible says, when Jonah hit the water, the waves and the storm stopped immediately. But God had already prepared a big fish. You know, whether you believe it was a whale or something else, it doesn't matter. It was a big fish. Swallowed Jonah, and for 3 days and three nights, he's in the belly of that fish. Seaweed and skanky stuff the fish has swallowed. Man, it has got to be one horrible, nasty, un-air-conditioned, smelly mess. And so finally, you know, he starts to pray, and he's repenting. And the fish spits him out on the shore. Now, he didn't spit him out in Nineveh. He spit him right back out on where he left to go the opposite direction. He still has to walk to Nineveh. And so he gets there and begins to say, and it's not a great sermon. It was a real short one. Repent. That's all he prayed. It's just all he preached. Repent. Repent. Judgment's coming. Repent. And the Bible says from the youngest to the oldest, including the king and his staff, they all repented. Have you ever done that? Have you ever prayed for somebody off some man that's got gloriously saved? Started going to church, started doing what's right? What happened? Well, somebody prayed. And, you know, one great preacher said, you know, higher level, bigger devil. Sometimes you can pray a little, but sometimes you have to pray a lot. But Evan and Jonah had an anointing on him. When he prayed, they all repented. And the judgment was stopped. So Jonah walks outside the city, a city of 120,000 people. He is so mad, he sits down on the hillside. He's just furious. He wanted them all to die. I mean, his country's been invaded by them. He's probably had family members killed by them. These are not nice people. These are skanky people. He wants them dead. And all of a sudden, he's sitting there mad, and all of a sudden, God causes a plant to grow, and it shades him, and he's thankful. But he's still mouthing back, oh, God, I just soon died. I just soon drop dead and have them repent. And so God's beginning to challenge him. He challenges him all, repeatedly challenges him, and finally the worm comes, eats the plant, falls over. He's scorching under the heat all day long. God's trying to get to him because God said, is it right for you to be angry at me because the plant died? Jonah said, yes. Even angry enough to die? The Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. And the plant is only at best short-lived. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness. God is concerned for the lost. Jesus died for the lost. Jesus went to the cross for the lost. Jesus is raised from death for the lost. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven right now praying for the lost. God is trying to save mankind. You got to stand in the heart of God. He's trying to save mankind. So all of a sudden, he sits there, and at the very end, the last thing he said, God said, not only these 120,000 people, and even God has a heart for animals. He said, not to mention all the animals, shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? He said, God says, shouldn't I feel sorry for them? Don't you want me to help them? And that's how it ends. It doesn't say what Jonah said and what Jonah thought. I mean, it just ends right there, and it's like, man, oh, man. So we have a whole book. Of all the books of the Bible, we have a whole book dedicated to one guy who's anointed, who's called, who's a prophet, but he doesn't like his job. So God deals with humans, people. regular humans, smart humans, not smart humans, anointed humans, half anointed humans. You know, he deals with everybody. I used to tell the kids, God will talk through the north end of a southbound mule. God will use anybody to reach the lost. So God loves the lost. And so the whole story of Jonah is about a guy who's upset that God will forgive a heathen city. And the Bible says judgment will stay another 400 years. Judgment did not fall on Nineveh for another 400 years. And it's like, it was amazing. People that got to live a good life and go on. Why? One man preached, and they all repented. It didn't. Win. I guarantee it was not a great sermon. It was probably, it's a sapid little thing. But it was the anointing of God. It wasn't the man's words. It wasn't Jonah's great words. It wasn't his great love. It was just his obedience. The Bible says, for willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. So let's learn how to be obedient to what God's asked us to do. And quit judging if people respond one way or other. Jesus came to die for the lost. Man, pray for your relatives. Pray for those you work with. Pray for those living next door to you. Don't curse them. Don't say bad things. Lord, bless them. Help them every way you can. Bring laborers across their path. Talk to them when they go to sleep, when they wake up, and they walk during the day. To take blindness from their minds. And now it's understanding. Learn how to pray the right kind of prayer so God will move like a freight train and things will begin to happen. Be careful when you judge somebody else, the Bible says. For when you judge somebody else, you condemn yourself. For it takes one to know one. Be careful when you start running your mouth. Don't do that. Let your yes be yes, your no be no, all else receive the evil one. You know, faith works by love, guys. We got to learn how to love people. It's not the emotion, it's the obedience to it. So guys, have a great day. God bless. And remember the story of Jonah, man. It's a great one. Bye-bye. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.